Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am cold and wearing a little warmth here over top of my Pappas gear, but we're putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I don't have a Pappas date. I do have a Coco's date. I've got a Costas date, and we have several dates at Fadley's. We're going to be doing Fridays live from 2 until 5. It all rhymes. Luke Jones will be joining us. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation, Jiffy Lube, and Liberty Pure Solutions. This guy's shirt is in the laundry right now, and he was, you know, doing the book tour last week with Fiducci Who, and we didn't even talk any sports. Leonard Raskin joins us now. He is our defending financial champion as we get into March here. Leonard, I'm going to start with just flat out. We got free agency. It's all about money, money, money this week on the football side. And
yes,
then we got
sir.
Baseball. We're trying to figure out who's coming up and who we're signing. It's money, money, money with Rubenstein. And can we get the money to the finish line to get rid of Angelos before here? But I just want to begin this because last week you did a whole thing on your book and Fiducci Who and who's looking after your money and all of that. You look after my money at Raskin Global. And I just, with taxes coming April 15th, and I was what do we say? A can kicker last year, right? I didn't have my act, my issue together.
An extension filer.
Whatever that is.
Your legal right. It's your right.
All right, well, run me through this, you know, because I had a partner that was unhappy with me because if you have partners, they want to get their ish in. So just,
yeah,
I want to be smooth this year, and we're going to do this off the air, like in a personal level. But I'm thinking somebody else out there is like, it's middle of March, and I got a month left, and like,
coming
let's
up.
Get our ish. This is the time to ramp it up.
Business returns are due March 15th, so that's coming up super fast. That's pre-opening day. And then personal returns, April 15th, post-opening day. And the government says you got to have all your stuff together. You got to send it all in and tell us what's going on. You got to pay your bill if you owe a bill. If you do a refund, it's no big deal. Send it in, get your check. Should have already done that. Hopefully.
Who are you? You're the guy that tries to balance it exactly. So like my wife that has this cool job with like a big company and she's got this deduction and that deduction and medical this and whatever. Just getting it to the point where like they don't owe you and you don't
right.
owe them. That's the best
right.
place to be, right?
Well, here's the deal. Refunds are foolish. You know, these people that say, oh, I got a refund. You gave the government an interest-free loan for any or all of a portion of the prior year. That's just silly. They wouldn't give it to you.
Is that
Why
the
would
number
you give
one
it to them?
No-no that you would have told my dad
yes.
in Dundalk in the 70s?
Yes.
Did my dad love getting a check? Everybody loves a tax refund. Everybody
well,
loves it.
Well, here's the thing. Look, everybody loves it because they don't know how to save their own money. So if you don't have discipline and you can't save your own money, at least you saved somewhere. Now, you saved with the government at 0%, so better than spending it, at least you get something back. But you shouldn't. The goal is to not have to get money back from the government that they didn't pay you any interest on for, again, a portion of the whole year. Now, on the other side, I used to advise, because things move fast. You know, with money, things move fast. The paying the government in April, as long as you file your return on time, you are allowed to pay the government the amount you owe, which is the deficiency in the squaring up, because all you're really doing when you file your taxes is squaring up. You're reporting what you earned, what you have deductions, and what's left. And if you owe, then what happens is the government says, you gave us $10,000 during the year. You owe $10,500. So now we need the last $500. We're squaring up. Okay, so you send them off the $500. And if you didn't pay in enough, so if you have your job and you're self-employed, you pay your quarterly taxes or you withhold from your paycheck. The idea is you withhold enough to match the liability during the year. What if you didn't pay enough? Well, then you owe. Okay, so I owe
that
the government.
That was us last
money.
Year, by the way. I mean, we sold our condo, right?
Right.
Things
right.
changed a little bit. Salaries
right.
changed. Just a lot changed. And all of a sudden, we're like, how much?
Yeah, so the thing is, as long as you're prepared, the downside is surprises. So we don't want surprises, but let's assume now that you know you're going to owe, you calculate it. You say, I'm going to owe $5,000. I'm going to owe $500. I'm going to owe $50, whatever it is. As long as you're aware that you're probably going to owe, you've escrowed that money in a savings account somewhere. You have it in available capital. You pay. So what? Now, as long as you paid your tax last year, as long as you withheld in as much as your tax last year, or depending upon your income, you have to withhold. It's a little technical, 110% of that amount. So if you owe $5,000 last year, total tax, not the refund owe at April point. Let's say your tax bill was $5,000 last year. As long as you withhold $5,000 this year, no penalty, and you could owe another $5,000. You just have to pay it. So April 15th, you file your return or your extension, and you pay the amount you owe because that's what it's required. As long as you do that, then you have a six-month stay of filing till October to actually file the return, but you don't get a reprieve on paying the taxes due. You got to pay what's owed in April, so you better be ready to write that check. So now I write my check and I go, but here's the thing. There is a penalty for under withholding. So remember, when you get a refund, you get zero interest on your money that you lent the government for the whole year. If you don't pay enough, there is a penalty because the government didn't have your money when they wanted it all the prior year. Now, that penalty used to be a couple points. No big deal. I would borrow money from the government for a year anytime at 2%. And use my money to create wealth elsewhere and then pay what I owe in April and pay the government 2 points, 2%. No worries. Well, thank you, Joe Biden and the Treasury. They have raised that interest rate for underpayment of taxes to over 8%. Now we're talking serious coin to borrow from the government for 1 year and not pay in what you owe. 8%+ withholding penalty. They've now made it onerous for you not to pay in what you owe, so you should exactly at least pay in what you owed the prior year. To avoid that penalty, don't pay the 8%. Why would you give the government 8% unless you're making more than 8% guaranteed on your money? Good luck with that. You don't want to give the government 8% return, or in your case, or in my case, anybody's case, listeners, an 8% penalty for not paying in your withheld amount due. So make sure you paid in your withheld. If you haven't, if you're under withheld and there's a penalty, start planning now for next year to avoid the 8%. When you go out to a nice restaurant and you get great service and you have a nice waiter or waitress, you can tip them. And if you want to tip them 20% or 25%, fantastic. For no service and no reason, there is no reason to tip the IRS 8%. So we don't want people tipping the IRS.
See, I knew I'd get you wound up with this because people need to hear this, right? We can talk some sports, we will, but every one of us is involved in this, right?
Everybody's got a tax return. Everybody's got a tax, just about everybody. You know, you make a little money these days, you got a tax return. And just wait, there's more coming. You know, one of the things you hear Joe Biden say all the time, no one under $400,000 of income is going to pay any more in income taxes, except if you're a guy or a gal who sold a couple tickets on StubHub and made some money, they're going to send you a 1099, and soon you're going to have to pay taxes on those gains. So it doesn't matter what you make, you're going to be paying taxes.
Well, it is income, right? I mean, it is.
It is. Legally, it's income. Legally, it's if you sell on eBay, if you sell on Poshmark, if you sell on anywhere, you know, Ticketmaster, StubHub.
So if you sell on eBay and I don't, but if I sold a whole bunch of stuff on eBay and I had sold $4,000 in eBay stuff at the end of the year, I'm not paying tax on that now. I'm getting one now.
You used
or was
to not.
Before?
Used to not until you exceeded $20,000 of sale.
Under now 20 grand.
Now
okay.
It's $600. 600. So they're picking up a lot more of the, what's it called, tax-free economy and making that taxable, which makes it interesting how they're going to gather up all your doubloons. And
they don't like those things in Delaware. I know that. I drove through Delaware the other day. They don't like tax there.
Right, but they like them in Maryland, and Maryland's trying to pass a few more.
You'll be happy that I peed at the Joe Biden arrest stop in Delaware, you know?
Not only is the Fed coming after you, but Maryland wants to get you for a little more, too. They're going to start charging additional delivery taxes on Amazon. They're trying to pass a new non-gas tax. For those folks that went out and bought electric vehicles, you're using the roads, but you're not paying a gas tax. So now they're going to charge you extra per year when you get your license renewed on that Tesla or that Bolt or Volt or whatever it's called, or your F-150 truck. You're going to be paying a fee for fixing the roads because you don't pay the gas tax.
Oh, you know, don't get me started on Easy Pass as well. All right, so Leonard Raskin is here. He'll give you financial advice. He'll make you laugh. He's got a golf tournament coming up at the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital because he does good things for them. It's over at Hillendale. That's coming up in early June as well. So let's do a little sports because I haven't talked sports with you in like a month.
Absolutely.
What's on your mind? I mean, let's just start with this before we get to anything anybody cares about. You're Caps guy. Some degree, Leontis' deal is blown up, right? I mean, Kuznetsov got dealt off. Like, I haven't heard you talk Caps to me in like 2 years.
They dealt away a few players, and what's really interesting is they're playing their best hockey of the season right now, and I think it's interesting because if you look at the minor league hockey, the Hershey Bears, right around the corner here, Chocolate Factory hockey team, have the best record in the minors, in the AHL, in the minor leagues. Great players, whipping everybody up, won the trophy last year, the Calder Trophy, last year. And so they're bringing up a lot of these kids and a lot of these young guys, and they're starting to win. So they dealt away some salary cap. They're bringing up some young kids, and they're hungry and fast, and they're winning because they got some speed, they got some youth, and suddenly they're winning some hockey games. So they're looking good, and they have a long shot chance to make the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Long shot. And everybody thought Ovechkin was dead because he didn't score at the beginning of the season. Now he's starting to put pucks in the net again, and he's creeping up on Wayne Gretzky's all-time ever goal-scoring lead list, which is stunning.
They can still make the playoffs. There's 20 games left.
I know, but they got to jump a couple few teams. So when you win, you get a point, you get a couple points, but so do other teams ahead of you. You got to jump a couple few teams.
Well, they're in better shape than the basketball team down there. I'll say that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And they're supposed to move to Virginia, right? They're supposed to move to.
Or not. They did not put that on the tax docket in Virginia. I saw this over the weekend. Tom Lavero wrote about it, Transparent Ted. In the Washington Times.
Yep.
I saw that literally in the overnight on Sunday night. And I'm like, it always felt a little sketchball to me. And when I talked to real people about it, about like whether Virginia was really going to go for this or not and chip
They're
in.
All trying to get free tax dollars, right? It's how the rich get richer.
Well, and
just
then they
ask,
run.
Just
you know,
ask.
And Rashadi's going to run from us 2 weeks from now. We're down in Florida. So, yeah.
But just ask Bashotti and Angelo / Rubenstein.
Well, what do you make of that?
From the States. Pretty good.
You've had time to marinate on this, right?
Yeah.
You were, I think, the first one telling me Rubenstein back in September, October. You kept telling me, look into this. You're a reporter. I had John Aranda on last week who broke the story for Puck, who was the old Sports Business Journal reporter, and he's DC based. He's an Oriole fan, So I love John. So John, he owes me a crab cake at Fadley's one day. So what do you make of all of it?
I like that the guy walked through the stadium and had the look of a wide-eyed child on the field. What could be better than an owner who has money who looks like a 10-year-old as he's bought the team? I mean, that'd be you and me. Well, maybe not you, but that would be me. I would be walking into the locker room and laughing. I would just be stunned. I mean, to this day, we'll take a quick diversion from sports. You know, we talk about how we both grew up. You know, poor kids, Randallstown, Dundalk. We had a little bit of something, but not a lot of anything. And to this day,
Leonard,
man,
I'm doing my 25-year documentary right now that you're going to be able to see in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And my eyes are bloody from the script and the idea that Greg Landry brought me. And I'm seeing this all. I'm releasing the book on my father. So feeling gratitude.
That's it.
Whenever I walk back into that press box, and I hope I do, the gratitude I'm going to feel for having survived it all. Right. Like literally.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. So I drive up to my house. I drive home from work, and I just look at the front of my house as I drive in and just say, holy cow, How could this be mine?
You think you're Tony Soprano?
Yeah, like this is silly. This is stunning and silly. And so, you know, you think about it, he was wide eyed. He walked into the stadium as the owner.
But what could you buy when you're a billionaire? Because you've had every steak, every meal, every airline.
It.
Like,
so
I don't know what
childhood.
You do when you're Bon Jovi to turn yourself on about buying something.
You
I
buy
think
an
if you're
F1
an
team.
Artist, you're Billy Joel, you go play the piano because it turns
people
on.
But you pick the
and
perfect
that makes
guy,
you
right?
Awesome, right?
I saw this over the weekend. Bon Jovi's running a Formula One team.
Well, we're all
He
trying
was
to get our kicks, right? I mean, in whatever
right,
way it
right.
is, whether it's sex, drugs, money, food, gluttony,
Owner the baseball
beach,
team.
baseball, whether if you're a poor guy from Dundalk and it's just you want them to win because that would give you the feeling. I mean, I once said to Steve Bisciotti, and I was probably wrong about this, I said, it makes you and I feel the exact same way when the Ravens win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, we both
Yeah.
feel that feeling that we
That's
feel,
right.
but you and I don't feel the feeling of winning $5 billion from owning it, though. There is a
No.
different feeling
That's
and a
right.
different thing that affords.
That's right. So the league has approved his purchase, the owners committee, I guess. So that means it's going to be approved. So Angelos will be done at some point, or at least out of control. And this guy will take over. And he walked out on the field and looked around and said, holy cow, this is mine. And it's got to be a magnificent feeling. And hopefully he gets to say, we get to own this and we get to keep some of these kids. And my predecessor said, we can't keep everybody, can't pay all these salaries. And he gets to say, if the Dodgers can pay Shohei Ohtani like $1 billion, I can pay Adley Rutschman and I can pay whoever I want, whatever I want. And I can keep a team here that's going to win.
Let me ask
And
you this, because you
that's a
handle
beautiful
money
thing.
For really wealthy people. You do. I mean,
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
we don't you don't brag about it. I've met your clientele. They're all over the place in different weird
Yeah.
ways. But you they're your richest client. I don't know if they could buy the Orioles, but they could
No,
buy
but
something that you and I couldn't buy.
that's
Right.
right.
Like
Sure.
literally.
Sure.
And they have
Sure.
that the wealth to borrow what they need to do. If they wanted to buy a soccer team, they could. If they or minor league
Yeah.
hockey. You know the kind of people that could
Yeah.
do that, right?
Absolutely.
So what if you're in on this and you know Rubenstein and you're handling his money or a part of his circle of people that would
Yep.
handle this kind of money,
Yep.
how does the justification, how will his mind work in this? Because that's what I'm trying to get my arms around. And when I've sat with people who have been around Bill, and I've been around plenty of billionaires too,
Yeah,
right?
sure.
But I don't
Sure.
sit and talk like about their finances with
Right.
them or about their ideologies. But you see that on TV all the time about the ideology of wealthy people when
Yep.
they're doing things with their money, whether it's even buying a boat or having a toy or, you know, the guy that you probably voted for that, you know, gold this and black the biggest that, you know, like all you see all the delusions of grandeur about all of that. So this guy buys this thing. He has all
Yep.
this money. He has a television show and he seems like a pretty humble kind of cat for the most
Yeah.
part, right?
Yeah.
Like what motivation wise and then the business of it, the actual business of I've got enough money that I can give this, I'm Oprah, I can give him $100 million, give him $100 million, give and just come in and have fun for 5 years and maybe sell it to the next guy for $3 billion because I'm not trying to make money on it, right? Like
Well,
all
they're
these
always
guys
trying
that
to make
run for
money.
these big
No, no,
companies
no,
just
no,
try to
no.
squeeze money out of it, right?
No, but the thing is, at that level, the difference between that level and the normal folks, the thinking is always about opportunity. What does this avail me the opportunity to have, to do? So it may be a pleasure
Meet
thing.
the
It may
queen and
be,
have the president in your box, right?
it
That's
may
why
be that
Peter loved it,
purpose,
right?
that's right. It may be that purpose about who I am and what's important in my life reflects in this decision. It may be that the opportunity simply to create more wealth on top of the wealth to do what I love to do is the reason I buy this team, this asset, this thing. And most of them left to smart, if they're smart, you know this, they bring in the right people and surround themselves with the right people to make it not just a toy, but an opportunity to create mass wealth. Now, you can look around and say, who hasn't and who might not? There's a guy down in Texas, Jerry Jones, who a lot of people would say interferes with and screws up the team, blah, 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 blah. But there's no denying the amount of opportunity and wealth that's been created for himself and his family with his ownership of the Cowboys. I mean, these franchises, if you look across sports, it's very rare when one of these franchises loses value over time. This is the one. I mean, there are not many assets you can own that don't deplete, that don't lose value. But as long
well,
as
that's all the more reason to try to win then, right? And especially a couple things with Rubenstein. Older guy, not Bisciotti,
yep.
not 38, yep. 41, he's
right.
Right. Had not invested a whole lot in Baltimore, from what I understand, for being a guy who's loved Baltimore and brags from being
yep.
from Baltimore.
Yep.
Just never felt like, from a financial standpoint, in the same way you'd love Baltimore, and I love Baltimore, and I invested in Baltimore, got my ass kicked,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I live down there, and it's cost me opportunity for the rest of my life because I bought a condo for $400, sold it for $300, instead of buying
Well,
it for $400, selling it for $800 20 years
later.
That's
a function, sadly. Sadly, that's a function of the city and property taxes.
Oh, look, we
and
talk about
prices.
That all day long,
right?
And the state of Maryland, why Brian Billick left Maryland.
But the bottom line here is sports franchises don't tend in that direction.
But there's a couple
for
things
a number
that are
of
interesting
reasons.
For him, okay?
State money's pretty good.
Well, the first thing says it's coming with $600 million of
right,
gifted
that's my point.
Help, right?
Right.
To fix the stadium. It's
Right.
Coming with a really good team and
and
the
a
pieces.
young nucleus of a really good team.
With this chance to really, you have something to sell. You have a product to sell where you don't if you buy the Oakland A's right now, right?
That's right.
You got
That's right.
sizzle and no steak. So they got
That's
that
right.
going on. There's a lot of really nice components in all of this. Part of it is the other guy was so bad, you can't help but stumble forward.
Yeah, the
No matter
bar's
what
pretty
you
low. You can step it up pretty easy.
But the motivation for a 70-something-year-old guy to do this with this
Yeah.
kind of wealth isn't
Yeah.
about one day I'm going to live long enough to flip it for $4 billion. It's
I
how
don't
can
know
I
his.
sign these baseball – it might be different. How can I sign these baseball players we currently have so that I can enjoy the next 5, 8, 10 years of my life
That's
and have
right.
a parade or two? And that unto
And
itself will leave the thing in better shape. And I don't have to make – this does not have to absolutely make financial sense, but part of it is, did it make financial sense at $1.8 billion to get into this? Because most people that buy this at $1.8 billion have a debt service problem ratio thing that says, look, we only have 23,000 people in the ballpark. We only have X amount of
Right.
sponsors. We're
You got
in
to pay
a,
the bills.
this is tough. This is
Yeah, when you
like,
can throw around, look, when you can throw around that kind of money, like it's nothing, like you and I throw around to buy a cup of coffee or, go to a show, that's pocket change for this guy, then you're in a great position. Again, I don't know the guy's story. It'll be interesting to see it and to learn it as time goes on. One of the things that we talk about, and I certainly talk about in everyday business, the passing on of a business to the next generation is hard. The passing on of a business two generations is damn near impossible. It hardly happens. You know, you might hear the names, but they might and probably aren't owned by the same family that were the founders. It gets sold off to who knows who, you know.
Well, if you do well enough, the kids find another way in life a lot of times, right?
Often.
Yeah.
And it's not in the family business. And
I mean,
so,
we don't even know who Steve Bisciotti's kids are, and that's the way
right,
he wanted it. That's the
right.
way he wanted it from the beginning. He was unabashed about that. That's
That's
why
right.
That's why his son's not the team president. And in Kansas City, the team's the Hunt family's there. And by the way, got F minuses from all the guys after they won the Super Bowl.
That's
What
right.
an
That
F
was
you.
really wild, huh?
What an F
That
you
was
to them.
really
Well,
wild.
I mean, but we start talking about these ownership groups and how they're all different. And
That's right.
Angelos wanted to be the king of the world. He wanted to be beloved. He was a prick. He was a hard charger for wanting to run to be the mayor. He wanted to be God. He wanted to sit in the box. And then he wanted to run when he got famous. He got famous and then said, I'm out. Like the last 25 years of his life said, I'm out. Bisciotti came in. Yeah, since Ray Rice punched his wife in an elevator and it's my fault because I'm a media member, he hadn't been seen. So these
There you go.
guys, their tunes change,
And
and how they
they
run
have,
it changes.
yeah,
You know
their
what I mean?
lives change, certainly. So their choice of how they act is, you know, certainly in their court, they can do what they want to do, but they
I mean,
are.
Bisciotti was local ownership. Angelo's
Right.
was
They
local,
are
local, local, and they're not
civic
really
local
local.
guys. They are
You know?
civic local guys. That's what I said. So you got to find out this guy's story. The question is, what's his family? Does he have kids? Is he interested in bringing them in to continue ownership? what are his legacy plans relative to that? And he had to be thinking about that the day he bought it. I know for a fact, and you may or may not know this story. I mean, one of the big reasons Art Modell came to Baltimore was liquidity. He didn't have money, and he kind of knew that his team would have to be sold when he died to pay the estate taxes because there wasn't enough cash. And Cleveland wasn't stepping up. So coming to Baltimore, he got a lot of money and he got an opportunity with a guarantee that his team was going to be sold and it was going to be liquid. He was going to be able to do what he wanted to do for his family and leave the legacy behind that he wanted for his children and his grandchildren, because cash is king. And so his legacy plans caused a move. I have no idea what the case is with this guy and what his future is.
I know that
intellectually,
and I've written about that, but I've never thought about it in exactly that term. Not just the how we got the team, but the notion was he had to make it worth more. And I think John had that in his sights in Nashville, according to his brother, in court documents, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Literally, that must have come up at Thanksgiving somehow, or at the
family
meal.
Yeah, go figure.
Right. You know, when they were sitting with Brady down at the Four Seasons years ago, when things were better, and
there
dad
was going to be
still
a big estate tax. You know, there's going to be a big estate tax coming, and it's
40%. But the plans changed dramatically for John Angelos from where he thought his life was going to be 5-10 years ago. And,
sure.
You know, I'm writing an ode to John at some point here when he gets out, because, you know, they're just going to be really, really filthy rich kids now. Right. Like, that's the way this is going to roll.
They're going to be filthy rich children of a billionaire, but they're hardly kids, right? I mean, how old are they?
60 years old, right.
Right, right. So this is the thing. Wealth transfers at late ages. You don't think about it. Not many people die young, wealthy, and leave legacies. So some do, but most live a long, 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 long time. And so their heirs receive their money in their 60s, 70s. And then their kids are in their 40s and 50s. And you got great grandchildren in their 20s and great greats. You know, it's a whole line. So there's opportunity there, but who knows what this guy's story is. I'm hoping he's willing to spend to keep the players, keep the stadium. He's got the stadium, $600 million to $40 million a year for 15 years. That ain't a bad get. I'll take that all day long.
And you can spend it however you want to spend it.
Right. Well, that allows you to buy some players because money's fungible. The state says you have to use it for the stadium. You say, great. Now I don't have to use my money to fix my stadium. I can use my money to pay some players and reap more profit. It's all good. It's a great game.
How many games are you planning on going to this year?
You know, we'll probably be home this summer a good bit, waiting for the boy to head off to grad school. So I think we'll go to 5 a dozen, you know, give
okay.
or take probably.
All right. Yeah,
somewhere
yeah.
In that range.
Oh, I mean, you go to every rave. You know, I'm just trying to figure out what the new campus is going to be. Because Luke's asking me, and I'm like, I think I'll be down there more often. If they give me a press pass, I'll go.
Well, of course, that's a different world.
I will go frequently because
that's
I'm
a different
welcome
world.
To be there.
Absolutely.
I'd like to feel welcome to be there. My last name's Aparicio. Leonard Raskin's his last name, but he's Fiducci Who. He's got a book
that's
out
right.
Now. He's Mr. Hot Pants. You can go find him out on Amazon. He's only been doing this 40 years, but you can find some of his work out at Baltimore Positive as well, but he's now on Altair, and you can find him at Fiducci Who. We did a big segment on that last week. If you want to go listen to it, you can find it out at Baltimore Positive. We'll do football next week after free agency, okay?
Absolutely.
After
see how
Patrick
that breaks
Queen's
open.
Here, and this guy's there, and like all that. Matt Abike's here. That's all we need to know for now.
See where the rest of them go. That's right.
All right, I'll have you break down the salary cap for me next week. Leonard Raskin, the fan of Raskin Global, out on the web and also at BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.